no know how to live life. Papa God, I ain't go sorry for my mama.
Uhuru! Uhuru, and welcome to Solidarity Not Charity, the weekly program of the African People's Solidarity Committee here on uhururadio.com. Glad that you've joined us today. We have an excellent program for you. And of course, this is the program, the weekly show of the African People's Solidarity Committee, which is the organization established by and led by the African People's Socialist Party to take the struggle for African liberation into the white community and organize solidarity in the form of concrete material resources, reparations to the African struggle, political support. And as a part of that work, we do this program each week to attempt to discuss and analyze the role and responsibility of white people in relation to the African liberation struggle worldwide. We have an exciting program today. If you've been listening to Uhuru Radio earlier today on today's broadcast, you've heard the beginnings of a report and excerpts from the historic event that just took place less than 2 weeks ago in Sierra Leone. It was the founding conference of the African People's Socialist Party Sierra Leone. And for those of you who have been following the work and the vision of Omalia Shetela, chairman of the African People's Socialist Party and now chairman of the African Socialist International, you're familiar with the fact that for something like 40 years, he's been talking about the vision for a united Africa, removing of the colonially imposed borders, the establishment of a free and liberated socialist economy that would allow for the resources, the tremendous mineral and agricultural wealth of Africa to benefit African people, to benefit African workers and poor peasants, instead of the current situation where all of those resources and all of that tremendous creativity and wealth and labor and genius of African people goes not to benefit them, but to benefit the white world. So throughout the broadcast so far today on Uhuru Radio, you've been hearing excerpts of recordings from that historic event, which took place in Freetown, Sierra Leone. The founding conference of the African People's Socialist Party Sierra Leone took place from November 16th through the 18th at the British Council Hall in Freetown, Sierra Leone. My name is Sandy Thompson, and I was honored to be a part of that delegation that went from the U.S., from the Solidarity Movement. Our component of the delegation was led by African People's Solidarity Committee Chairwoman Penny Hess. Was also part of that delegation was Comrade Allison Haney, who's a leader and member of the Political Bureau of the African People's Solidarity Committee, and I was also able to join that delegation. And it was a phenomenal event, a phenomenal experience, and this represented the first time on the continent of Africa for the formal establishment of the African People's Socialist Party. So it was a tremendous and historic event. And what we're going to do for the next hour is to share with you some of the presentations and discussion that took place at the conference on the question of the role and responsibility of white people. So I think you're going to really enjoy this. There was a tremendous response to the presentations that were made at the conference and at some of the other events throughout the course of the nearly 2 weeks worth of events that took place throughout Sierra Leone in relation to the building of the African People's Socialist Party. And there was a tremendous response to the presentations that were made by Chairwoman Penny Haas. We're going to start off. Oh, and I just want to let you know, 2 weeks from today, on December 20th, the UhuruRadio.com and Uhuru News are going to have a live video broadcast of an event that's going to take place at the Uhuru House in St. Petersburg, in which there will be a thorough summation of the Sierra Leone trip, of the delegation that went from the U.S. to Sierra Leone. It's going to include video excerpts from throughout the trip and the various locations in Sierra Leone that the delegation visited, video, some clips from some of the different events that took place, and also some comments and summation from Chairman O'Malley and some of the other leaders of the party on this trip that was made. So that's going to be December 20th, beginning at 4 p.m. U.S. Eastern Time. So I really want to encourage you to tune in. And in addition to that being an opportunity to hear a really full summation of the event, and I believe people may also have the opportunity to raise questions via email and what have you regarding that trip, it will also be an opportunity for people to support the ongoing work of the African People's Socialist Party and the African Socialist International in Africa, because at the beginning of 2010, there is going to be some further trips made to Africa to help consolidate the African People's Socialist International in other parts of the continent, which is really critical at this juncture to see African internationalism sweep the African continent. As Chairman O'Malley has been saying, it's a very crucial moment for that. And so you want to stay tuned in for that important information and important opportunity to be a part of this historic trend happening in the world today. So to start off with the presentation that was made by African People's Solidarity Committee Chairwoman Penny Haas at the first day of the founding conference to build the African Socialist at the African People's Socialist Party, Sierra Leone. The Chairman O'Malley did a keynote presentation to that conference, and if you didn't hear that today, if you are a paying subscriber to Uhuru Radio, you will be able to download and listen to that presentation on tomorrow. Following the Chairman's keynote presentation, there were a number of solidarity statements from various organizations, and Chairwoman Penny Haas was one of the presenters of solidarity statements to the conference. So I want to share with you here the presentation, solidarity statement made from Penny Haas to the founding conference of the African People's Socialist Party, Sierra Leone, on November 16th, 2009, in Freetown.
My name is Penny Haas. I'm the chair of the African People's Solidarity Committee. I'm very much honored to be here today, and I am also with two comrades of mine. We're coming from the United States, and we just salute this conference of the founding of the African People's Socialist Party here in Sierra Leone. I want to salute and give my respects to Dr. Spencer, to the leadership of Cherno, Alpha, and Ba, and to Chairman O'Malley Chitella and the other leaders of the African People's Socialist Party based in the United States right now. I am a member of the African People's Solidarity Committee, which is an organization of white people that was formed by the African People's Socialist Party and Chairman O'Malley Chitella more than 30 years ago. It is an organization of white people that works under the leadership of the African Revolution by going in to the white communities to talk to and win other white people just like ourselves, to be able to look at the world as it really is, to be able to look at the world in terms of the solutions that must change the world. And the understanding that we take out is the understanding that Chairman O'Malley Ashutella just presented to you, that we have to tell the truth. And so, although we are not African, we are African internationalists. Because what we have to do is begin to look at reality, as the chairman said, as it really is. That Europe was poor, oppressed, backwards. Europe had nothing. It had no grand buildings, no wealth, no state power the way it does now. It was not an imperialist power. It was poor and oppressed. Africa was the greatest civilization on the planet Earth. History shows that to be true. And Europe rescued itself by sending ships beginning in about the 1400s to Africa to begin to steal the gold of Africa. And by the year 1500, already 700 tons of gold had been stolen from Africa. And Europe began to turn African people, based on the incredible violence imposed on Africa by Europe, into a commodity for sale, an item for sale, so that the most precious commodity in the world was African human beings. And this is what made Europe rich and powerful. This is the only thing, along with the genocide against the indigenous people and the theft of the land and resources of the people on the planet Earth. There is nothing that Europe and North America and the white world has that it created for itself. Everything is stolen from Africa and from the people on the planet Earth. Even the knowledge that Europe says it belongs to Europe, the great and brilliant European civilization, was stolen from Africa. History bears that out. And that all the wealth and all of even the democratic rights, even the ability for white citizens to go to court and not be put in jail as African people are in the US, but to, have quote justice, comes at the expense of African people. And the understanding that the chairman has given us that is really key for white people to understand, if we are serious about wanting to transform the world, is that the entire white population lives on the pedestal of the oppression of African people. And that's not to say that every white person is a millionaire, but even white workers live a standard of living that would be luxurious in Sierra Leone. And when you look at what the conditions are in Sierra Leone, and you look at what the wealth is in the United States, it's taken for granted that every family would have a house, would have two cars, would send their children to school. This is because your resources and your labor has been stolen so that we can have that lifestyle. That is not a sustainable future. That is not a sustainable planet that can't continue to go forward. Because as the chairman said, we can see that African people, the Iraqi people, the people of Afghanistan and Palestine and the indigenous peoples of the world are saying that imperialism must go, that white power must go, that the people on the planet Earth and the people of Africa have a right to your resources. And for the African People Solidarity Committee, we recognize that it's not enough for us to say, well, we salute and we support your struggle for liberation, but we have to be part of and take an active role in returning the resources to Africa, and that reparations must be paid. And reparations is not a nominal sum. Reparations relations is the basis, it is the economic foundation of imperialism must go to Africa because it is Africa's resources. And it continues today, and we know that that is true, that the depth of the exploitation of African people here and inside the United States has been and continues to be the economic stimulus and the economic foundation of America and Europe's wealth. And this is the deepest crime against humanity that we can, you know, that we can understand. And that we understand that we are today in a period of the crisis of imperialism. This imperialist system can't go on. It can't continue. It is falling apart. It is dying before our very eyes. And a lot of people from the white population are beginning to question what it is, you know, that we can do. Because the truth is, if we want peace, we can't have peace without justice. We do not believe in imperialist peace. It must be a peace based on the fact that the peoples on the planet Earth have control of your resources. And so we recognize that the future of all people on this planet, including white people, is not on the side and on the pedestal of this parasitic, blood-sucking system, but on the side of the solidarity with African people and oppressed people around the world. That is the only future for this planet. And again, like the chairman said, look at history. We know that when Africa had its great civilizations, there weren't demonstrations against police brutality. There weren't people living in the conditions that they live in today. And that is the kind of future that we all look to. So again, from the African People Solidarity Committee, we express our deepest solidarity with this conference today. We believe that all the resources of Africa belong to African people. All the borders imposed by colonialism and imperialism must be torn down. Africa must be one nation and one people. And we say, Uhuru.
And that was African People's Solidarity Committee Chairwoman Penny Hess delivering a solidarity statement to the first day of the founding conference of the African People's Socialist Party Sierra Leone, held at the British Council Hall from November 16th to the 18th, 2009, in Freetown, Sierra Leone. And judging from the response that we saw in the media articles as well as in the hall itself, which was filled with, to standing room only, with over 300 people, about perhaps 400 people in the hall there on each of the 3 days, the response to Penny's presentation appeared that no white person had ever made statements like that, had ever actually assumed and acknowledged responsibility for and, you know, told the truth about where the resources of Europe came from. And because, you know, the people, most of the, we didn't see hardly any other white people when we were there. And the ones we did see, you could tell either were somehow connected to the diamond trade in terms of the people we saw coming over on the plane. And then missionaries. They would see missionaries, UN workers, charity workers, but not white people taking a political stand in solidarity and telling the truth. And the response was tremendous to that. And, you know, I got to tell you, if you're listening and you're engaged in trying to organize and win white people to take the right stand, to stand in solidarity with the African struggle, and you have any doubts or any, you know, insecurity around the justness of this question or the inevitability of the victory of the African liberation struggle, I got to tell you, after seeing what we saw in Sierra Leone, I have no such doubts. I mean, it is absolutely inevitable that the African people will win, and the strength and the enthusiasm and the response. You know, one of the things that we noticed was how sometimes in the U.S., when you talk about one African people worldwide, white people will sometimes say, oh, well, Africans on the continent are nothing like Africans in the U.S. I mean, they have completely different culture, completely different reality. They don't see each other. The Africans on the continent don't have an affinity for black people in the U.S. Completely not true. I mean, there was no question or no doubt raised whatsoever when the chairman stood up and said, "I am a son of Africa returning home to report to you on what I have seen and to struggle to unite our people to reclaim our resources." I mean, there was no contest over does he have the right to speak as an African. I mean, that was universally accepted and it was universally embraced. So the next piece that I'm going to share with you was from the second day. There was a workshop on the global economic crisis and the global situation. And this, again, is from African People's Solidarity Committee Chairwoman Penny Haas making a presentation to the economic workshop. She shared a platform with Chairman O'Malley and with Louise Kinshasa, who brilliantly gave an overview on the chairman spoke about the development of parasitic capitalism, and Louise discussed the impact of the current economic crisis throughout the African world. And then Penny's presentation followed that. So we hear now African People's Solidarity Committee Chairwoman Penny Haas again.
It is a really good time in the world for revolution, because imperialism, as the chairman said, is weak. It's a parasite, but it's weak because of the resistance of the peoples on the planet Earth. And this resistance has been a catalyst to deepen the internal contradictions of imperialism and the U.S. economy. So right now, the U.S. economy is in a huge crisis. And even though the Obama administration and the bourgeoisie and the media of the U.S. are trying to say, oh, it's better, we're in recovery, everything's getting better, this is not true. The U.S. economy is in the stages of collapse. It is coming down. And the U.S. dollar is ready to collapse. And this is a really important thing, because whether it takes a week, another week, or maybe 4 or 5 years, the dollar is going to collapse. And this is important for a couple of reasons. Because one, psychologically and sort of politically, in North America, the dollar represents imperialism. The dollar represents imperialism around the world because the U.S. dollar is backed by the U.S. military. And for the dollar to collapse is a huge psychological blow to the self-image of U.S. imperialism. And it is also a fortunate time to be a revolutionary movement, because it means as different parts of the planet win the revolution, they no longer face the world hegemony of the U.S. dollar and U.S. economy. It's not saying that imperialism has come down, but imperialism is up for grabs, and other countries around the world, as the chairman said, are fighting for their power and their economic power. So that we see, you know, Venezuela, Russia, Iran, and China working together to do everything they can to make oil now priced in other currencies besides the dollar. So these are important blows against U.S. imperialism and U.S. power, and we should not underestimate the seriousness of that. The other point that I wanted to make quickly is that Comrade Omowale Kefing and also Comrade Louise Kinshasa spoke about the conditions of African people in the U.S. and Britain. And I want to talk about that a little bit from the other side of it. How much the U.S. government and economy, and also the U.S. population of white people, how much money is made from the attack on African people inside of imperialism. And we know that imperialism and the U.S. is plundering Africa for the last 500 or 600 years, that it is stealing your diamonds, your gold, your oil, your bauxite, uranium, every other resource. But we also have to understand, you know, and we understand that that is the foundation on which the U.S. economy rests. But inside inside the U.S., as impoverished as the African population is, it is still ripped off for trillions of dollars by the U.S. economy every year. That the conditions for African people in the U.S. is that, on average, African people own 10 cents for every dollar that a white person has, on the average. And that since the 1960s, the defeat of the Black Power movement, the Black Revolution of the 1960s, when we saw the assassination of Malcolm X by the U.S. government, the assassination of Martin Luther King by the U.S. government, the assassination by Fred Hampton, and other leaders of the movement, and the destruction of that movement, we have seen, for this last 40 years in particular, the U.S. government militarize and criminalize the African population inside the U.S. So that it is very clear that it is a colony, as other people spoke about, inside the borders of the U.S., that African people are not U.S. citizens. They are colonial subjects inside the U.S. And one of the ways that the U.S. has done this is by imposing drugs and an illegal drug economy, as other people have spoken about, onto the African community, while at the same time destroying all local community businesses. What few businesses were owned by and operated by African people in the communities have been destroyed. So that the only thing that exists for African people, a lot, you know, at least for 60% or maybe 50% of the population, is the illegal drug economy put there by the U.S. And we know that heroin, crack cocaine, all of this, it's been well documented, put into the African communities by the U.S., funded by the CIA, the police, the FBI, and other agencies of the U.S. government. But the reality is, though, that all of the money from the drugs is not in the African community, because as a world commodity, drugs, illegal drugs, are worth at least $1 trillion to the world economy every year. That money isn't in the African community. That money is in the banks, it is in the Wall Street brokerage firms, it is in law firms, it is in diamond dealerships, and all kinds of other ways. White people control the drug economy of the U.S. And it's one of the reasons why the U.S. is fighting the people of Afghanistan right now, because the U.S. has planted an opium crop there that produces 90% of the world's heroin coming out of Afghanistan right now, and targeting African communities in particular. And one of the offshoots, you could say, of the drug economy imposed on the African community is the prison economy. Because since the defeat of the Black Revolution of the 60s, the U.S. government has used the imposed drugs to criminalize the entire population and build prisons, which is a huge economic stimulus for the white population in the U.S. A new prison, at least for the last 30 years, has opened in the U.S. every 2 weeks. There are 2.5 million people in the U.S. in the prison, just in the prison. When you count all the people awaiting trial, on parole, you know, in other forms of the state, you're talking about 7 or 8 million people tied to the prison system of the United States. If the people sitting in this room, in particular if the young African men sitting in this room, were in the United States, in your age group, 1 out of every 3 of you would be in prison. That prisons in the United States are a colonial form of oppression and extraction of resources. It has nothing to do with crime. The criminals are the U.S. government, the banks, and the computer. United States. For African people, there's something, and one of the things they call it is three strikes, you're out. So that you can be 18 years old and go to prison for the rest of your life with no possibility of parole. If you're white and you're arrested for some of the things that are used against the African community, you either get out right away because your father comes down with a lawyer to the court, you know, or to the jail, or you're sent to some kind of rehab program or something like that. Basically, don't go to prison for that. So it's two kinds of laws, the colonial laws locking up African and Mexican people in the prisons, and another law, set of laws for white people in the U.S. So we're talking about, there's also private prisons, which basically is a corporation for profit traded on Wall Street that makes millions of dollars on enslaving African people and pushing laws like three strikes you're out, so because they have to show that they're a good investment. And the laws show that the prison beds will be full forever. And that's what, how, again, African people are a commodity inside the U.S. The U.S. also has the largest population of children in prison of any country in the world. There are children in prison from very young. We have seen in the Uhuru movement has, you know, waged campaigns when children as young as 6 years old, African children, put on trial and sentenced, then kept in what they call juvenile homes, which is juvenile prisons, until they are old enough to serve what their, you know, sentence that they're going to get for the rest of their life in the adult prison. This is what happens. But the prisons are full of 12-year-olds, 14-year-olds, 16-year-olds, and children who are tortured and brutalized in the prisons in the United States, and who are going to be there until they die, until the African Revolution frees them. And finally, and I just want to say that the prisons and the drugs have created trillions of dollars for the U.S. economy. The crisis that the U.S. is facing right now, it would have been facing 40 years ago if it hadn't been for the illegal drugs and the imprisonment of African people. Prisons and drugs create millions and millions and millions of jobs for white people. Not just prison guards, but every other kind of thing. Construction work, building these new prisons coming out every 2 weeks. You know, every possible kind of way. The phone system that goes to the prison. It's a gold rush of multi-million, billion dollars benefiting the U.S. economy. And finally, I just want to talk about a more recent thing which has, you know, a phenomenon that has happened inside the U.S. in which the U.S. government and the mortgage corporations and the Wall Street banks consciously targeted the African population of the U.S. for what is called the subprime mortgages. What they did was they went out using neocolonialist African churches to reach the African population, many, the vast majority of which historically have never had the resources to purchase a house in the United States. But with this plot, with this scheme, they went out, targeted the African community, and gave them what is called subprime mortgages, which means that you start out with a low interest rate, and after 2 years, your mortgage payments, which would be like your rent, your mortgage payment, could double or even triple. And meanwhile, the banks were using these mortgages as investment tools to invest in their big hedge funds and all these Wall Street banking schemes that they used. And the banks were making trillions of dollars off of that. Well, in 2007, the subprime mortgage market collapsed when just millions of people, and especially in the African community, could no longer pay their mortgages based on this dishonest, fraudulent, you know, exploitation of the African community. So millions of African people lost their homes. And it is estimated that the African community as a whole inside the United States lost at least $128 billion in the last few years in the basis of their homes. But what the United States government did was bail out, they called it, the US banks that lost their money that they were using, you know, to exploit the African community and get money for themselves. They paid the banks so far $28 trillion of US taxpayers' money. And all the African families that have lost their homes haven't gotten 1 cent. Not 1 cent. And when you're talking about cities like Detroit, predominantly African cities inside the United States, like Cleveland, Ohio, and Baltimore, in Cleveland alone, African community lost 77,000 homes. In Detroit, we don't even know how many. There's 100 city blocks of abandoned houses in Detroit right now. The unemployment in the African community is 50% official, but it's more like 80 or 90%. People are homeless in the city of Los Angeles. Every night, 100,000 homeless people sleep on the streets of Los Angeles alone. This is the conditions inside the US. They don't tell you this on the newspapers, on the movies that you see. This is the conditions of the African community inside the US, and white people have made millions of dollars, have made a living off of this for too long. And now we see the crisis of imperialism brought about by the rising of liberation struggles for African people and people around the world. And it's time now that the white population has to take a stand. Are we going down? Are we siding with this vicious, death-dealing, genocidal system of white power? Are we standing on the side of black power, on the side of the African revolution, which is the only future for the planet, for everybody on the planet? Uhuru.
And that was African People's Solidarity Committee Chairwoman Penny Hess speaking on the second day of the founding conference, the historic event that saw the first founding of the African People's Socialist Party on African soil. That was the founding conference of the African People's Socialist Party Sierra Leone, held in Freetown, Sierra Leone, from November 16th to the 18th of this year, 2009. We want to thank everyone who, all the supporters of the Uhuru movement who stood on alert to be prepared to take action should any security issue or security problem arise during the course of the delegation from the U.S. Making this historic trip to Sierra Leone. Those of you who followed the regular journal entries that both Chairman O'Malley and African People's Socialist Party Agitational Propaganda Director Nyabinga Zimbabwe were posting on Uhuru News, and just want to express appreciation for that alertness, and I'm sure that we'll be hearing more. You'll have an opportunity to hear more about both the whole entire situation, the trip, and what the situation was in Sierra Leone. If you tune in 2 weeks from today on December 20th to the live broadcast, live video broadcast from the Uhuru House here in St. Petersburg, Florida, of an event that's going to take place on December 20th, giving a thorough report and summation of the U.S. delegation visit to Sierra Leone. And that's going to include video from the trip, as well as commentary and summation from Chairman O'Malley and some of the other leaders of the party and the movement who attended this conference. I also want to invite you, you know, as Chairwoman Penny Hess has just stated in the last two presentations that we've heard in the first half of this week's program, that white people have a responsibility and an opportunity to take a stand with the people and with the future, and take a stand in solidarity with the struggle of African people and the struggle of oppressed and colonized people throughout the world to reclaim control of their resources and set things right, have a world without bosses, without exploitation and slavery and destruction of the planet, and to take a stand with the future. You can do that. And if you have not already made plans to, I want to really call on you. And if you have, and if you are coming, you got to organize your friends and get everyone to come and attend the National Conference of the African People's Solidarity Committee, which is going to take place January 10th through the 12th here in St. Petersburg. Next month, it's about one month from today, January 10th through the 12th. In St. Petersburg, the annual National Conference of the African People's Solidarity Committee will take place, and it is open to anyone who wants to come and attend and have an opportunity to see how you can get involved in the taking a stand and organizing from the white community to build support and solidarity with the African liberation struggle. It's going to take place in St. Petersburg, and it'll be an opportunity for you to meet and just talk with and hear presentations from leaders of the Uhuru movement, including Omalia Shetela, other leaders of the movement. There will be practical workshops on how to organize. If you come to this conference, you will leave it a changed person in terms of your understandings of the world and in terms of your practical capability to go out and organize other white people like yourself to take this stand. Because the world is changing and we have an opportunity to be a part of it, and it's very exciting. So I really want to encourage people. You can get all the details and you can register online by going to APSCUhuru.org. That's the acronym for African People's Solidarity Committee, APSCUhuru.org. Register and get involved and come down to St. Petersburg. There's inexpensive housing available. All the information you can get there, and you can contact us through the website as well. So the second half of the program now, or last 20 minutes, I'm going to run straight through a discussion that took place on the second day of the conference following this economic workshop, where an argument was made from the floor from a representative of PANAFU, a Pan-Africanist organization based in Sierra Leone, that was making the case for the necessity of African workers to stand in solidarity with the struggle of European workers for workers' rights, and was basically making an argument of how he or his organization viewed a class analysis and class struggle. And he raises a brief comment from the floor. Well, we're sharing it was a lengthier comment, but I'm sharing a brief portion of that so you get the gist of it. And then we're going to hear a response to that from Chairman Omali of the African Socialist International, and then following that from African People's Solidarity Committee Chairwoman Penny Hess. And although overwhelmingly at the conference, which, as Penny mentioned, the age group there, of course, in Sierra Leone, the life expectancy is 37 years old. Only 10% of the population lives beyond the age of 37. That is how harsh the conditions of poverty are there in such a mineral-rich continent, in such a mineral-rich country, where none of those resources goes to establish even the most basic infrastructure for the people. But so the people in the audience were generally young people in their 20s, 30s, and overwhelmingly the response there was 100% positive and 100% enthusiastic about the building of the African People's Socialist Party in Sierra Leone and the seizure of the national resources of Africa for the benefit of African people. But there was some debate and some discussion, and this was one of the debate that took place there. So I want to share that with you, particularly because it does relate to the question of white workers and how do we in the Uhuru movement understand the relationship of white workers to the African struggle and the anti-colonial struggle of people worldwide.
We have to be very clear in our class analysis. Because it's very easy to say that the Europeans are exploiting the Africans. It's a very broad statement to which Europeans, is it all Europeans who are oppressing all Africans? So it's very like I said, I would say no, because in Europe there's a class struggle going on right now. I will tell you that in England today, for the past 2 weeks, there's a massive postal strike. You ever hear about strikes in UK or in Europe? No, there's a big strike in London right now. If you post your letter, they will not take it because the people who are working for the postal service are on strike. Why? Because those that own the company, the bosses, the managers, and the chief executives, who have been paid millions and millions of pounds salary, are trying to sack 30,000 workers so that the ordinary working people who can hardly survive on a minimum wage will pay for the economic crisis that was created by the capitalist class. So it's a battle of ideas everywhere. So in that sense, our solidarity goes with the working people of the UK. Just like our comrade Penny, who is a member of the Solidarity Campaign for African People, there's a working class struggle in Europe, in Latin America, everywhere, that we should be part of. And we shouldn't be blurred by thinking that it's just all white people against all black people. Because here, those who are oppressing us, those who are oppressing us here, and the Soma, and the SFP, and the APC who are selling our resources, they are black people like us. So that's why it's very important to understand a clear class connection and class analysis.
First of all, let me express my appreciation to the comrade brother who recognizes the need to struggle for a reintroduction of socialism, discussion of socialism onto the political agenda, not only here in Sierra Leone, but the truth of the matter is throughout the world. That's a profound contradiction that we are confronted with. And one of the reasons we have such a problem dealing with the issue of socialism, certainly we find that true in the United States and much of Europe, including the United Kingdom, is that it's the socialists, the white socialists themselves, who have talked about socialism in a way that, in the final analysis, is not different from a national socialism. Because it is a socialism that, from their perspective, that comes as a consequence of what they would characterize as the industrial working class coming to power at the expense of the industrial bourgeoisie. And that occurrence is simply doesn't do anything to change the relations of power existing between Africa, the oppressed peoples around the world in Europe, because the industrial working class, of course, is centered in Europe and in the United States. And a part of the problem, our understanding of history, is that capitalism as a social system was born as a world system, and it is not something that simply raised up the bourgeoisie, the white bourgeoisie, but the whole white working class itself. Was born out of the exploitation of African other peoples around the world. That is to say, even white workers are a product of consequence of slavery, of colonialism, and exploitation around the world. Which is not to say that we don't recognize or have the ability to distinguish between white workers and the bourgeoisie. But what we do know is that, for example, we never hear this kind of comment when the Vietnamese says France is exploiting us. France, we want to stop French exploitation. We never hear somebody say, well, you can't say all the white people in France, you just got to say everybody except the white workers. Part of the reason I imagine that happens is because the French Communist Party, as most of you know, supported the exploitation, the colonization of our people in Vietnam and in Algeria. In fact, the French Communist Party actually declared that Algeria was a part of France. That happened in similar other kinds of situations. And the reason it happens is because the thing that gave rise to all the wealth in Europe, the thing that Lenin talked about when he said that the primary contradiction in the world was a contradiction between oppressed and oppressor nations. And in the oppressor nation, there are workers, there are sometimes peasants, there is the bourgeoisie, but it continues to be the oppressor nation. And here we have oppressed nations who suffer as a consequence of a relationship with an oppressor nation, which is not to say that within the oppressor nation there are not contradictions that need to be looked at, and that Africans who are oppressed cannot be sympathetic with people who are oppressed within the oppressor nation. So that is just an objective reality as far as we understand it, as far as we can see. And to say that the U.S. exploits us, Africans, because they exploit Africans in the United States, and the British exploit Africans in England, and the white workers of Britain, even as they go on strike because they lost their jobs, have a terrible attitude by terms of black immigrants and other black communities in this country. So it is appropriate. It is appropriate, and it is responsible as a socialist to criticize the behavior of even other workers. In fact, what is defined as opportunism within the communist or socialist movement is a sector of the working class accepting short-term benefits for itself at the expense of the long-term interests of the whole class. And the white workers have always volunteered to accept short-term benefits for itself. Our call to the white working class is to abandon the interests of the bourgeoisie, to abandon its interests and join with the rest of humanity, to end its voluntary isolation from the working oppressed peoples of the world. That's what. So it's not that we say all the white people, obviously, because Penny Hess could not be here. But Penny Hess has a responsibility to criticize a white population, not just here, but around the world, for its attitude toward African people. Because if we do not criticize them, then how can they correct their behavior? How can they correct their stance? How can they identify with the other oppressed peoples around the world? They can't do it. It requires criticism. And as you know, there is a difference. There is a difference in terms of the kind of contradictions. There are antagonistic contradictions between us and imperialism, and there are not antagonistic contradictions. Antagonistic contradictions can only be resolved as a consequence of the defeat of one by the other. We say that non-antagonistic contradictions are contradictions which, generally speaking, can be resolved through education and persuasion. That is what we attempt to do with all people who are supposed to be on the same side. And I might say that, we don't have this contradiction when we talk about Afghanistan says U.S. out, when Hugo Chavez in Venezuela.
And the reality is all white people sit on the pedestal of the oppression of African people. All white people have, as a whole, have been complicit, actively or passively, in the oppression and exploitation of African people in Africa and in the United States. And that socialists, white socialists, have participated in the perpetuation of the enslavement of African people, have never stood on the side of liberation of African people, and have been complicit in trying to get more of the stolen resources of Africa into the hands of a greater percentage of white people. That's what the white left is about. Now, everybody knows what Belgium, for example, did to the people of Congo. Committed genocide against at least 10 million Africans in Congo, cut off the hands of African people so that there were mountains of hands so that they could steal the rubber and have it for cars and bicycles all throughout Europe. But no, that took thousands and thousands of Belgian workers to participate in that, and there was no sector of the Belgian left or socialist movement that took any stand against that. They united with it. And they talk about how there's one genocide. In the United States, they say there was one great genocide. That's when the Germans killed Jews. But the reality is, as the chairman has said, that Jews united with Germany's genocide against African people in Namibia and in Southern Africa, and with all the genocide that Europe was perpetrating against African people in the US and in Africa for hundreds of years. And what happened in Germany was white people killing other white people, so that's what the crime was, and that's why it came to light. Inside the US, they say, well, poor white people came from Europe to America to get jobs. Yes, that is true. They came to get jobs. This is my ancestors. to get jobs by continuing to brutalize and wage a reign of terror and violence against the African population, and to pick up the gun against the indigenous population and steal their land. White socialists and communists came to America from Europe in the 1840s and fought and struggled that the system of chattel slavery stayed intact. Because if African people were freed from slavery, it would compete with jobs for white people. Then, following that, white people waged the most inconceivable violence and brutality against African people. Have you heard of lynchings? Do you know what lynchings are? Lynchings are parties of white people in the South, not just in the South, all over, who attacked, white workers, by the way, white workers, who attacked individual Africans. This went on for just until really the 1960s. Attacked African people, took a person, burned them slowly, started with their feet while the person was still alive, burned them, partied, had music playing, danced. I mean, this was women, children, grandmothers, everybody did this. 10,000 people would come to watch that, and that went on all the time in the United States of America. That's how white people got money. That's how they got jobs. They stole the land and the money of the indigenous people and of African people. You know, because African people, right after the end of chattel slavery and the Civil War, immediately began creating communities and gathering wealth, and white people attacked them, burned down the African institutions, and stole the land and the wealth for them. This is why white people can, you know, buy a house and get money from their parents to put a down payment on a house, but African people have nothing because it's been stolen by them, and white people are complicit. People talked about what the conditions are of the African community today. There is a war going on that the police departments in cities like Los Angeles and Washington, D.C. train the death squads of Latin America and the death squads of Africa because they do it against the African community. If there are helicopters flying around, there are armed police forces carrying submachine guns in the African community every day, and somebody gets killed, you know, the white left doesn't take any stand against that. White workers don't take any stand against that. They unite with it. They get their jobs from it. And this is the reality, that we have been part of the parasite. We have benefited from it. This is the message that we take to the white community. The rest of the world is saying, no way, you're not doing that anymore. You can't get away with it anymore. And that we're saying that white people have a choice, and we have to take that choice. Are we going to stand with this blood-sucking system that creates genocide and suffering for the majority of planet Earth? Are we going to go down with it? Are we going to stand on the side of justice and liberation and stand with humanity and join humanity for the first time?
Uhuru, and that was African People's Solidarity Committee Chairwoman Penny Hess responding to a comment from the audience regarding the relationship of white workers to the African liberation struggle. We've been hearing today on Solidarity Not Charity on this week's program here on uhururadio.com some excerpts from presentations and discussions relating to the relationship of white people to the struggle of African liberation movement, and hearing African People's Solidarity Committee Chairwoman Penny Hess making the call for white people to take a stand in solidarity. You can do that by participating and joining. Check out APSCUhuru.org. Come to St. Petersburg, Florida for the National Conference of the African People's Solidarity Committee, January 10th through the 12th. And tune in 2 weeks from today at 4 p.m. U.S. Eastern Time to hear a more complete and full summation of the historic conference, founding conference of the African People's Socialist Party, Sierra Leone. Thank you for tuning in, listening, and supporting UhuruRadio.com, the online voice of the International African Revolution. going to leave you now. Tune in again next week, and Uhuru.
To any law, and even in the face of any justice.